In the 2 years after the end of World War II, 22 Nazi criminals faced justice at the famed Nuremberg trials in Germany. 12 prominent Nazis were sentenced to death. The remainder received only short prison sentences or some no penalty at all. Nazi leader Adolf Hitler and several of his henchmen were missing at the trials. They'd committed suicide in the final days of the war. Despite the shortcomings, though, the Nuremberg trials put human rights law on the global map. Leading human rights lawyer Philippe Sands explored that history in his award-winning book of 2016 called East West Street. East West Street is now being transformed into a highly acclaimed piece of theatre that will soon make its debut here in Australia. East West Street, A Song of Good and Evil, is narrated by Philippe Sands himself and award-winning German actress Katja Riemann. Both are accompanied by musicians on stage. Philippe Sands joins us from London. Philippe Sands, welcome back to Breakfast.
Morning, it's great to join you again.
You've described this as a personal exploration of the origins of modern human rights law. It essentially tells the story of four men, two prosecutors at Nuremberg, Adolf Hitler's personal lawyer, Hans Frank, and your grandfather, Leon. How do these four men's stories intersect, Philippe?
They all connect over a single city, which is today in the Ukraine, called Lviv. And in short, in 2010, out of the blue, I get an invitation to give a lecture on the work I do on crimes against humanity and genocide and do international law type things, and I accept the invitation not because I got a burning desire to give a lecture, but because my granddad was born in that city. I knew him well. He lived until 97, but he never once talked to me about what happened to him and his family in that city. So I toddled off to find out and uncovered a remarkable set of coincidences.
And those coincidences, what sort of made you move from a personal story to intersect with this broader global story about human rights law? Tell us about the central coincidence, as far as I understand it anyway, was the coincidence of the love of music shared between the Nazi and the prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials.
Part of it, but just to take the story back slightly,
sure.
What happens is I basically just want to go and see my granddad's house. I have no information. I go off to this city. I spend a bit of the summer preparing the lecture that I'm going to give. And what do I discover? The man who invented the concept of crimes against humanity, who was a professor at Cambridge, Hersch Lauterpacht, came from the city of Lviv. And the man who invented the concept of genocide, a Polish criminal prosecutor called Rafael Lemkin, also came from Lviv. And the people who'd invited me had no idea these two guys had attended their law school. So that was pretty amazing.
Yes.
I started looking more and more into it, and I then found these two men who became prosecutors at Nuremberg and my grandfather all lost their entire families at the hands of the man they were prosecuting, Adolf Hitler's personal lawyer, Hans Frank. So I got more and more into it, and I began to go into their diaries, their correspondence, and I discovered that on the opening day of the trial, one of the prosecutors, Lauterbach, is prosecuting Hans Frank, doesn't know that Frank is responsible for the killing of his entire family, but both men have a shared love of music, and both men find solace in exactly the same piece of music, music by Johann Sebastian Bach. And I thought that was pretty astonishing.
That was pretty astonishing. And it's here, of course, you now tell this story to music. But what was it? I mean, it's an extraordinary coincidence, but what did that start you thinking? And you explored that within your book, this notion of this piece of music, the Passion, is it, I think, St. Mark's Passion. And it turns out that Hans Frank has a great love and a great understanding of classical music, and yet he is a mass murderer. He ends up being executed in the Nuremberg trials.
Yeah, well, we've just actually performed it, the piece in Berlin, actually yesterday. And I'm just back in London today on my way to Australia. And it was a really interesting thing to get the audience reaction in Berlin at the heart of the beast, so to speak, where a lot of this started. And afterwards, we did a Q&A and we had a conversation. And the central question everyone wants to ask is, how could a man, highly cultured, highly educated, a personal friend of Richard Strauss, himself a fabulous pianist, how did he find himself in the dock charged with the murder of 4 million people, Poles and Jews? What makes a man cross a line from a sort of regular life into the life of a mass murderer? I think that's a question no one's really been able to understand. But in a sense, it's encapsulated by his love of a particular piece of music. And in fact, I spent ages going through his diaries and his letters. And he loved all sorts of music. Mm. He loved some jazz, he loved classical. And I think it's that central issue that we explore in the piece.
And we're speaking with Philippe Sands. He's a leading international human rights lawyer, professor of law at University College London. He's also the author of this book, East West Street, which has been awarded. And it's now turned into this stage production. It's played around the world already. It's coming to Australia. This story about human rights law, and how did it turn into a stage production?
I'll give you the short version. I have a very dear childhood friend called Laurent Nahouri, who is one of the world's great opera singers. In fact, he's coming with me to Australia. He's coming from the Met in New York. He's doing Covent Garden this summer. I mean, he's an extraordinary performer. And I've known him all my life. And one day I just said to him, you know, I've been writing this book for 6 years. I've been gathering all these pieces of music. Are there points of connection? Could we imagine you and I writing a piece together? He fobbed me off for about 4 months. He now tells the story that I was, you know, how could he sort of fob me off permanently? And then he started listening to the music and realizing the point of connection. And so we sat down and wrote the piece together. He sings, I narrate with Katja Riemann, who's a wonderful actress. And we just wrote it together. So again, it's a story of friendship. It's based on that kind of trust that you have with someone you've known your whole life, who also happens to be a world-famous musician.
And did you find that putting the story to music changed the reaction? I mean, this is essentially, you know, investigation to human rights law.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm very often in court. I acted for Australia, for example, on the Whaling case. And I know the power of words in the courtroom. I know the power of words in the lecture hall. And I gave a lecture at Oxford in about 2012. And someone in the audience, who actually was the director of the English National Opera, said to me, that's an amazing story. You mentioned music. Why don't you do it with a violin or piano? Find someone who can do that, and you'll see the impact that has. And so I then, about 3 months later, gave exactly the same lecture with a violinist. And the effect was amazing. People in the front row who I could see started weeping. And I noticed that when you use the same words as in a lecture, and then add music, it has this incredible effect on people. Mm. And that's really what gave the idea legs in the end.
Philippe Sands, can I bring you back to the here and now? The breaking news overnight is that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange lost his latest bid to have the arrest warrant against him dropped. That would have paved the way for him to leave the Ecuadorian embassy in London. The judge rejected arguments that it was no longer in the public interest to arrest him for jumping bail in 2012. But the judge dug in his heels and said Julian Assange should have the courage to come to court and face justice. Is it time for him to do that?
Well, I mean, I thought from the beginning, if, as he says, the allegations are without legs, then that is what he should have done. But, of course, he has an additional fear, which is the moment he comes out, he's going to be extradited to some place, possibly the United States, irrespective of whether or not he faces and succeeds in his quest for justice. So, on the one hand, I can understand there is that fear of being sent to another place, and particularly right now, I would have thought, under the administration of President Trump, that fear is probably heightened. On the other hand, you know, there are allegations from, I think, at least one woman, maybe two women in Sweden, which have been given legs by a Swedish prosecutor, and I think the decent and honourable thing to do in those circumstances, if you say it's not accurate, not fair, not justified, is get your day in court and defend it. So, you know, I can see the equities in both directions, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised an English judge rejected it. I mean, you can't jump bail and then argue I've spent 5 years locked up in the Ecuadorian embassy and expect that to succeed, I think.
Philippe Sands, thank you very much for joining us.
Terrific. Thank you.
Philippe Sands is a leading human rights lawyer and professor of law at University College in London. And his theatre work is called East West Street, A Song of Good and Evil. And the tour kicks off in Sydney on Saturday and then heads to three other cities. We'll put those dates on our website.